Hi, I'm Lila Ainge, psychologist and researcher. Welcome back to Psychologically Speaking, a podcast all about human behaviour, bringing together fascinating research, insights and real-life experiences. This season, we're exploring goals with guests, and we'll be following them into the new year to see how their beliefs, behaviours and actions shape those intentions. My next guest, Hannah, has been on the podcast before. Hannah runs a community built around 10-minute marketing tasks. And the last time she was on, she told us how often people describe it as weird to do something so fast. She is a self-confessed underthinker. Hannah's reframe around marketing is refreshingly direct and simple. So can we expect the same from her approach to goal setting? Let's find out. Welcome back, Hannah.
Thank you so much for having me again. I'm so excited to be here.
We loved having you on last time, and I got loads of comments about your episode with people going, I definitely overthink. And it was really nice to hear somebody say, just post it.
I love that.
I'm asking everybody this season about their goals for next year. Are you thinking of a goal or a resolution?
Oh, goals. I think I've got two goals. They definitely feel like goals, not resolutions.
Okay. Well, let's dive in. Which one do you want to talk about first?
Well, I've got two. One I don't think I can achieve, and one I think is a stretch, but maybe I could achieve. So which one do you want first?
Shall we go for the one that is a stretch that you think you can achieve, and then we'll spend more time on the other one?
Okay, nice. So the one that I think is a stretch is a business goal, and I want to get 300 members in the best 90 days ever in my marketing membership. So I've got 170 at the moment. So that is why it feels like a stretch, because it's almost double that, which to me means I'm probably going to have to double my audience growth and things like that. But I wanted to get 200, and I just thought, well, why don't I just add another 100 on and see what happens? Why not? Yeah.
Okay. So how long did it take you to build your current audience?
So it's been going for 4 years now.
Yeah.
So it's taken me 4 years to get to 170. So I want to do that again in a year.
But what you've got on your side this time is you've got all of the knowledge of what works. And you can cut out any faff around anything that didn't serve you and didn't work. So what's your strategy? What have you learned that you're thinking, this is definitely going to help me get to that 300?
So my kind of rough idea is that next year, I say this and this is what I don't know if I can actually do, but like, I would like to not really launch anything new. I will launch new things. I know that of myself. But like, I would like a year that is focused on the membership. So I would like a year where I just give it everything. And that doesn't mean I don't give it everything now, because I do. But I have other things. And, you know, over the last couple of years, I've done the retreat, which you came on, and things like that, which I've loved doing. But I just wonder if I just had a year of membership building, what that would look like. And I have, I've booked a call with someone who is like a membership specialist and membership expert, who is going to help me with that. I think they're called like a membership strategist.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just think if I can do that, what would happen, basically?
And what's the motivation behind growing it?
I think it would be wrong of me to not say money. Obviously there is the income. It's a reoccurring income for me, and it is there every month. So that is really nice. But I love bringing people together. I love having that community. And I think one of the things I've realized over the last couple of years is that that's where I thrive, and I'm really good at that group setting rather than the one-to-one coaching. So yeah, I think knowing that I would thrive in that kind of position is also one of the motivations as well.
So what I'm hearing here is it fills two needs and values. One is that need to bring people together and the value you get from that, and it's a warm and energy giving thing for you. And the second thing is the need to make money and be profitable, because that's why we're all doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
So that sounds amazing. And also, you are going to scaffold that goal with the right expertise. You're not doing this on your own. You've learned and failed and learned and failed on your own to get to 170. So you've got a good feeling around what things work. You've got your own evidence base, but then you're also going out to an expert as well. So you're sharing this, the mental load of building that as well with somebody else. That's a really smart strategy.
Yeah, that is really true, actually. And knowing they would have that specific knowledge as well of the things that have worked and the things that don't quite work. Yeah. And I think the other thing that I probably have on my side with this is the momentum of the 4 years. So yeah. I have been promoting it, you know, every day for the last 4 years, and I've been talking about it and growing it. And like, is that a thing of, you know, when a plane takes off, it takes loads of energy, but when it's flying, I mean, I'm sure it still takes loads of energy, but you know, I'm now, not that I think it will be slightly easier potentially, because now some of the opportunities that I was really trying to get will be coming to me. Because I've built that audience and that, hopefully, like that reputation and credibility and things. So, yeah, I think now I have that behind me, getting those opportunities for growth will be slightly easier. That's what I'm hoping. That's what I'm telling myself.
Well, I think it's great to tell yourself that. And, you know, I've got this image of a bird, like kind of sauntering, you know, through the wind. You know, they have to get all that energy up there, and you're using that tailwind that you've created the momentum to keep going. The exciting thing for me here is that, you know, you've got that social proof, but a lot of people who are setting goals and people who've come onto the podcast so far are talking about the fact that they feel they need to get to the point that you're at before they can grow. So we're now going to be able to follow somebody who's done all of that work and is now going, now's the time. This is where I'm going with it. So I'm really excited to see that. So how are you going to chunk this goal up? This time is this by this time next year? Are you trying to achieve this mid-year?
Yeah, I think by the end of the year.
Yeah.
And so it obviously starts every 90 days. So the next one is the 1st of January. So I think I would like that the next January 1, I would be looking at 300 members. Because that is my biggest one, because people set goals and do this kind of thing in January. So I think that January 1 will be my biggest one that I've ever had. So it's almost building that up to the year. But I suppose the way that it kind of naturally chunks down is that it is because it is every 90 days. Yeah. Every 90 days I do a launch. Mm-hmm. Every 90 days I can see what's happening. I can use that data and the information. I can try different launch techniques and things like that. So yeah, looking at each of those chunks individually, I think, will be really helpful.
And if you put any thought into, because I'm just thinking about your model in particular, because you not only have people who enroll every 90 days, but you've got people who are almost like a yearly member as well, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah. So are you thinking about having a mix? What kind of mix your 300 members sit in? Some of them are, you know, for the year, some of them, it's that retention, isn't it? I suppose will be important.
Yeah, I think I'm happy with either of them. Obviously, when they join for a year, it's nice because we kind of both know that they're in there for a year. Yeah. So I can almost, I hear myself saying, oh, you know, we'll look at that next month, knowing that they're already going to be there the next month. Whereas when they're only there for 90 days, sometimes they might not stay. They might skip around and come back and things like that. But when they're there for the year, we both know they're locked in for a year and we are going to work on their goals for a year together. So that is a really nice feeling, I think, for both of us.
So this sounds like you've got good support around it. You've got an idea of how you're going to measure it. You've got a mechanism to get it underway. It feels like what I would call a focus goal. So it's like this unilateral focus for next year. And what you've also described right at the start is this idea of this being that focus and letting other things fall, as in you're not going to go to them, you're going to let them come to you through this focus. Mm. So that is a shift, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. It'll be really interesting to see how that actually pans out across the year, because I do get shiny object syndrome and I know I will be tempted, but I've kind of tested it for this part of the year, and I've said to myself, no, I'm not doing anything new this year, like this for these last few months of the year. So I'm just kind of testing the water with this, and it feels really nice. So I can imagine it will feel nice for the rest of the year as well.
I love that. Are there any challenges or potential humps in the road that you're now sitting and thinking and going, yeah, I am worried about that? Or do you think you've covered them up?
I think it would be if anything unexpected happens. I don't know what, like, how I would adapt to that, because the membership is very much like me, and a lot of it is in my head and is stuff that I deliver. So if anything unexpected happens, which hopefully it won't, touch wood, but I would need to quickly adapt to that because I don't have a contingency in place. So yeah, that's something that I think about all the time anyway, to be honest. So I do have, you know, systems and things set up.
Yeah.
It will always continue. But yeah, it's just thinking about making sure the things that are in my head are also written down somewhere as well.
That's really interesting. I have these conversations more with other coaches when they come through supervision. And as a coach, a lot of your work is delivered by a single individual, yourself.
Yeah.
And coaches get around that a little bit by sometimes having arrangements, like fallback arrangements. Our freelance type of way of working or contracts allow us to substitute a lot of the time. So in terms of thinking, it might be, you know, low risk that something happens next year, in touch wood, we don't want anything to happen next week. But in terms of the impact on your business, that's where you put the contingency in, which is, well, how do I offset the big impact of me not being there? Because I am the face of my business, and who would be a person or individual who I could call in a time of emergency to support for a day or 2 days. So they're the types of conversations that are quite helpful, because you don't have to have a foolproof system, you just have to have a bit of an idea about where you go next.
Yeah, that makes sense actually. And I do feel like I could do with that anyway, you know, even not just related specifically to the membership, just having that as a business,
yeah,
a business thing that is there. So yeah, that does make a lot of sense.
Cool. Well, I have complete faith that you're going to smash this.
Oh, wow. Because
I feel like you just really, you're my kind of like pin-up person for goal setting, because you kind of set your goals, you go off and you do it. And you're the person I look to when I'm thinking, right, I need to get some energy and momentum back in my own business.
What's oh, I love that.
You're very inspiring in that respect. I think you're quite consistent, which is, I think that's probably why you're really good at the community building. So tell me about the one that you're more nervous about, and why is that?
I think you'll like this one. So I have a place for London Marathon next year.
Oh, yes.
Yay. And I want to take 43 minutes off my marathon time.
Oh wow.
That is crazy. So yeah, I did Manchester Marathon a few years ago, and I did it in 5 hours 42.
Okay. Yeah.
And I would like to do a sub 5 hour marathon.
Totally doable.
Well, yeah, and I've downloaded one of those apps, and when I put in all like my half marathon time and things like that,
yeah,
it came back and said 4:44 or something like that.
Yeah.
So the app was very confident that I would do it in that time. The thing for me is that I find the training for a marathon very boring and long, and I consider myself to be a slow runner, and not in a negative way. Like, I just think factually I'm much slower than Tom is, for example. Mm. And that's fine. I don't really have an issue with being slow. But my issue is that running for 5 hours, 42 minutes is a really long time. I just don't want to be running for that long again this time. So that's my motivation.
Oh, wow. So this is so exciting. As you know, I love running.
I thought you'd like this one.
I know. I'm actually doing a run next year, and I've got to get my arse into gear with my own training plan. So I'm what I class as a slow runner, and my fastest marathon was 5.5 hours.
Nice.
My slowest was 6.5, and that was worse, because
it's long.
You're on your feet a long time, and it's quite lonely. To speak to that kind of loneliness and the monotonous of the training, and for anyone who's listening who's not run a marathon, your training happens in the most brutal months of the year.
Yes.
And it is cold, it is icy, it's dark, it's wet. You know, we're not talking about, you know, lacing up, going out and getting some Insta-worthy photos of yourself running or anything. It is shockingly, you know, kind of mind-numbingly awful. But that is part of the method in the madness, because it allows you to prepare mentally, doesn't it, for that marathon.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued because I think there's a little opportunity for you, particularly around your training, that you can really leverage. But what thoughts have you had around making that training fun? Because that's what you bring to your marketing business. So how do you make that fun?
Yeah, that is true. So I actually do prefer running in the winter. I cannot run in summer. When it's hot, I'm instantly out. So I do prefer this time. Obviously, I'd rather not run in the pouring rain and things like that. But so my next door neighbour, Ben, he is running the Barrier Island 10K and he's doing Cardiff Half in October. Yeah. And he's downloaded the same app as me. So we've got a very similar pace. So we have been running together.
Wonderful.
And that, I think, is going to be a game changer for this one, because, you know, we did like 7K the other day and we just went out and came back and we were like, whoa.
Wow.
That just went so quickly because we were just gassing the whole time and like chatting away. So that, I think, will be a game changer. And I would like to use the time to like listen to some audiobooks that I haven't got around to listening to yet. You know, listening to those podcasts that are always on my list. Just like almost having a bit of time to think. And I don't know what the right phrase is, but like absorb some stuff.
Yeah.
That would be good.
So there's this really interesting idea that obviously running can get us into a state of flow.
Mm.
And a flow state for someone like you might be that, you know, ideas, you're an ideas person, you know, that content generation, being able to listen to something and then you're in a flow state and you're thinking it through. And the thing that immediately pops to mind for me is, why don't you make this so fun that you set yourself a challenge to have so many content ideas per run or something, and that, you know, you do something different each month to like kind of bring that up. But you really like challenges. That's something that you talk about. It's something that you promote with your people in your community. So how do you break this down and make it challenging on an individual level? The running with somebody else is perfect. And I think you need a combination, don't you, when you're doing a running goal of that accountability. But how do you make it fun?
I like that. And actually, that reminded me that I saw someone do a post earlier on, and they basically have had like a theme for each of their months over the year. And I think she's going to continue that going into next year. And that would be fun to even just think each month I had a theme of things I was going to be thinking about while I was on those runs. Because obviously I've got till the end of April for this.
Yeah.
And yeah, I love that, like thinking of as many content ideas, because I'm always talking to my headphones. I won't say the word that I say to my headphones because it will set everyone else's off. But I always say like, hey, can you make a note?
Yeah.
And I'm puffing along like,
yeah.
And it records the notes for me. So yeah, I think that's a really good idea.
So part of that goal setting and strategy is around enjoying the time on your feet, because evidence shows time on feet is probably the single most thing that is going to reduce your overall running time when it comes to marathon training. But there are also other things. So what do you know about the science of reducing your marathon time? What else do you think there is there that's going to help you?
So when you just said that, it did make me think that I would like to sit down and like research this, like almost take this on as a project for myself and be like, what is going to help me with this time? But interestingly, since I've downloaded this app that gives you like the running plan, it's given me speed work to do, which I didn't do last time and I've never done before. And I'm quite excited about that because obviously the novelty of it, like it's brand new for me. Mm-hmm. And it's something different that I want to try. But I know that it's almost like that is a run that is focused on improving my speed.
Yeah.
And I do think that that is going to be a bit of a game changer because I have never done that before.
So that's something else that's really interesting, because the variety that comes into the marathon training is really key.
Yeah.
So we focus a lot of our energy on getting our long runs in each week because they're usually the hardest around business, work, family life and dogs or whatever to fit in, is getting out out for maybe 4 or 5 hours for your long runs or whatever, yeah, your training runs every weekend. So we tend to overly focus on those, and then people shortcut the speed work and the shorter HIIT kind of stuff, and also strength work. So
yeah,
I'm now going to come to another part of your messaging, which is really useful here, and to ask you to just explain to my listeners what you say about good housekeeping every Christmas.
Okay, so good housekeeping. I did a reel recently about how it is a scam, because it just talks about the same things every single year, and yet we continue to buy it. I continue to buy it every single year, and it will always have like celebrity gossip and, you know, how to cook your turkey, how to cook your potatoes, gift guides. And I just lap it up. I love it so much. But it is repetitive. And yeah, it follows a structure that works. And you don't need to stray from that structure when you know that it works.
So using your own advice, if you were to ask me, Leela, how often do you buy Runner's World? It is the same magazine with the same kind of issues every year. You get your summer issues, you get the issue where they tell you all about the new shoes that have come out every September. And you can go to a car boot sale, because I know you love a car boot, and get an old copy with the marathon training plan in. And it is going to be, that is your research, because that gives you the tried and tested methods, but also, you know, podcasts where people talk about their marathon training journeys. They all talk about very similar things. I think unless you're looking at an elite sub-3 marathon, the stuff that generally works is going to generally work for you. So that's something really helpful. And it's just remembering, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. And this is your view on life is generally about, how can I make this simple? How can I underthink this? Well, you know, that research looks like not a lot of trouble, really. It's going and picking up a magazine with a marathon training plan in it.
I love that. Yeah, that's so true. And actually, obviously, as I'm talking about this, and I've mentioned it to my dad and things like that, so my TikTok is now picking up everything that I'm saying and feeding me TikToks about it. And I've had TikToks of girls who like look like a similar age to me, similar height to me, because I think that is one of like the reasons I do find it tougher. And they have massively reduced their marathon times. And I'm seeing the evidence of it, that it is possible. And I think I just need to get into the mindset of, I can be that type of runner as well, and just becoming that person, like the embodiment of it. And I think that's kind of the challenge of it too.
That's more of a mindset thing, isn't it? It sounds like that is a, do I believe that I am this runner that can run the, was it the four hours 30 you're looking for, something around that time?
Or just anything less than five. 4:30 would be lovely.
You know, what does a typical runner look like? And I think the running community is one of these amazing spaces where we see all shapes and sizes at park runs and at marathons. And like you, I really find other women inspiring. One of my greatest kind of inspirational women to follow is a woman called Susie Chan. And she started running, I think, in her late 30s. And she's gone on to do ultra marathons. And, you know, she's broken a world record on a treadmill for the longest treadmill run.
Wow, that sounds awful.
It does. I listened to her podcast, her audio book, a few months ago, because I had a tricky time with running after COVID and couldn't get back into it. And I have taken on a big challenge next year with my best friend to go and run a 70 miler in one go. Oh, very slow. It's like a long buffet, Anna. So I go, we do a little bit of running, a little bit of walking up hills, and quite a lot of snacking. So that's how approach to so, and I find her really inspiring. So there's a couple of things here, isn't there? There's the one, what's the tried and tested formulas? Who's your community? Because, I mean, that's something you have for yourself and for your business. But who is your running community? And that might be slightly different. There might even be people in your own community. There might be people a bit further out. And then there's that other thing, such as, what do I do that's different to just doing it the way I trained before,
yeah.
which is the long runs. And it sounds like you've got some ideas around that as well.
Yeah, I think they're the main things. And also last time, so my dad's always saying to me, you need to go and join a running club. And I did last time. And basically we went on a long run and they left me and someone else behind at the end. And we didn't know the route. So we kind of like managed to find our way back, but we didn't do the full run. And like, it just left a really bad taste in my mouth. And that has really like soured the view. Not of running clubs in general. I know there are good ones, but of me being part of a running club. Mm. And I do think it is probably time for me to get over that and to find one that I do feel I'm part of. And there's people who are going at a similar speed to me and things like that. Because I do think that will be a good way to get those long distance runs in and have that community.
How do you find that perfect group for you?
I don't know. Mate, just probably social media. I think I will look to social media. And yeah, I'm going to have a look at the different ones that there are. There are loads around like Cardiff and Barry. So it's just finding the one that I think is a good fit.
And I think it's really interesting. You know, if we're thinking about gyms, we'll go and visit maybe one or two different gyms and we have a good look round. And then it strikes me that with things like running clubs, we'll go to one. If we don't enjoy it, we kind of go, oh, that doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
And it does need to be a bit of a try before you buy. It might be similar to things like car boots, where there are certain car boots which have got a different vibe to others. So maybe it's just maybe the research is actually around those communities rather than the method, because the communities is the thing that requires your time to research and think about.
Yeah, I like that. And I like the researching. So I will enjoy doing that. Yeah.
And it's a great time of year because I think quite a lot of groups now will have their Couch to 5K group starting in January. And even if you can run 5K easily, joining their Couch to 5K groups is really helpful when you're a slower runner, because there are slower runners in those groups that you can then say, do you want to go on a regular Tuesday or Thursday run? And to kind of, you know, twist it round a little bit, it's thinking, well, you can create a community. You're good at creating communities. A running community can be two or four people or 40 people. So what do you need next year to get that time? If that's your focus, make it happen.
Do you know what? That's actually really interesting, because that just made me think that when I did Cardiff Half in October this year, I don't know if it's me or someone else. I run a group called Gals Who Do Things in Barry.
Yeah.
And we have a WhatsApp group and there's about 200 of us in there. And two of us did Cardiff Half Marathon and we went on a training run together. And it was only because one of us put in the group, does anyone fancy going running?
Yeah.
You know, I'm doing this run. So I've got 200 gals in my phone that live in Barry and the surrounding areas.
I'm sure some of them will be running in January.
Yeah, I mean, they might even be doing the marathon as well. Mm. So I am going to message them as well.
Wonderful.
And maybe potentially start my own little running community.
Yeah.
Like you say, with just a couple of us.
Go for it. There's there is actually a marketing person called Michelle Mortimer, and I know her because she set up a running club in Lincolnshire originally, and then she moved house to Bolton, and she now does like running coaching and stuff, but she actually set up a running community from the ground up.
Oh,
and
right.
she was a marketing and kind of PR person by trade, so she's very active on social. She's worth a follow. You know, she's got loads of experience of, you know, running communities and how they work. And she's got a podcast because she runs with her dogs as well. I think she's got a dog podcast. But yeah, all of these, you know, running's just amazing because there's so much out there. And like that good housekeeping thing, you know, we don't have to look too far to kind of get the answers that we need.
Yeah, I love that.
Well, that's wonderful. So you've got two goals. They're both kind of community in a way. So your first goal is to grow your business community, your 90-day marketing membership, and you want to start the new year with a bang with those 300 members. You've got support in place to look at how you're going to do that, and we're feeling confident about it, and I can't wait to hear your strategies and also how you course correct as well next year, because things don't always go smoothly. And then your second goal is more around you know, getting that time limit down. I suppose I should ask you, how will you know? Because this is the tricky thing with marathons. Anything can happen on the day. So, you know, you can turn up to a marathon. It can be the hottest day of the year so far, yeah. or whatever. How will you measure your success for this? How will you know that you are getting closer to your target time?
I think I will try and be better at tracking the speeds that I am running, like the training runs, basically. So, yeah, just I want to keep much more of an eye on that. And also, now that I know what the pace is that I probably need to be going at for the marathon, I do want to start thinking, like, is the run that I'm doing near to that pace? And I also want to check in with how it feels. Yeah. So if I'm running at that pace and I feel awful, that shows me that I'm not going to be able to continue that for 26 miles. So yeah, I just want to keep an eye on that, I think, and check in with it.
It's really curious because when you get deep into that marathon training, there's about a month, I think, that happens where you're going from half marathon distances up to your 20 miles, where every run feels much slower, and it probably is slower. And you might be doubting yourself and thinking, oh, I'm not going to get it. But you have to remember that you've built up that mileage in your body. So one of the things that might be helpful to do is to think about, how am I going to deal with slow progress?
Yeah.
Or slower paces than my target, and knowing perhaps that that is perhaps part of your success criteria, is that you've hit that period. And there are other things that are measures. So you talked about doing the interval running. So maybe another measure is, have I been able to keep up doing different things each week?
Yeah.
So even if my runs do feel slow, or I'm not feeling great, can I say I've bolstered with other stuff, and can I trust in the process? That, I think, is probably one of the challenges that might come up.
Yeah, that's true, actually. I think I'm aiming for the consistency, especially as it's going to be over Christmas. You know, it's going to be, my birthday will come up. There will be these things, and I do want to maintain that consistency, because I do have a bit of a habit of, what's the phrase, where you self-sabotage, where I'll be going really well and then I'll just, like, I was gonna say go on a bender, but it's not that, but, like, do you know what I mean? I will just be like, oh, actually no, I can just eat rubbish all week and not exercise and all of that stuff. So, yeah, I want to be mindful of that and just think, actually, what's more important, the goal or having a week where I'm going to probably feel rubbish at the end of it anyway. So yeah, I think that'd be really good.
And also, even just acknowledging that now is about having something on a post-it or something written down which says, when you have a day where you do relax and you're not focused on it because you needed to have that, the next day you pick yourself up and go, that's okay. I expected this to happen, so therefore it's not derailed me. So that's probably thinking about your derailment strategies, which I'm going to talk about on the podcast on one of my episodes. So you'll have to listen to that one, because I've got strategies around, and I'm terrible, I'll admit this. Coach, do as I say, not as I do. But, I'm terrible at with running. I'm either all or nothing. So I either run most days and really, really enjoy it and think, why do I ever stop running? Because I really love this. And then I can go 2 weeks and have not stepped foot outside. And then I start to feel rubbish and go, why am I not running?
And then it's so much harder to do it again.
It
so
is,
yeah. Definitely.
I am so excited to see your goals unfold. And thank you so much for coming back on the podcast again this year. Feels like a real treat.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited, and I'm really excited to follow along with everyone else's as well. Yeah. I think this is such a good idea. So, yeah.
Oh, thank you so much, Hannah. I hope you are beginning to see what I'm seeing. Everybody approaches goals differently. There are some similarities, though. Sometimes we pitch our goals a little lower than the dream we actually want. We keep our momentum modest because we think we need strong foundations before we're allowed to scale. And we also worry about failing, sometimes more than we admit, especially when what we're doing can be very visible. In January, I'm opening up something new to help you move beyond that. that. And it's called my 2026 Goal Sprint. It's going to be a live 60-minute session where we're going to use my prompt to craft the best goal for your 2026. And it's going to be a goal that's ambitious. It assumes that you can grow from day one. And it's got built-in space to evolve if it stops serving you. And what to do to mitigate any possible derailments on the way. You'll get weekly live check-ins to keep your momentum going, especially past that second week in February where most resolutions quietly melt away. You'll get access to a Slack group through January, February and March, and I will be in there every week to give you the strongest psychological start to your year. If you want a 2026 goal that feels exciting, grounded and possible, you can join us for just £79, and the link is in the show notes, or you can go straight to www.leelaange.co.uk/goalsprint. I'd love to see you there. That's all for today. Thank you for listening to Psychologically Speaking with me, Leela Ange.